I know, good grief. Well, I have to follow that up by owning up to a mistake first. Yeah, So last week we started our new series called Men and Women. And a couple minutes into it, I said something that created a lot of confusion for some people. Probably not what you're thinking, because there's a lot of stuff we talked about, but specifically this. I was talking about how there are times in life where there's something we really want, we wait for it for a long time, and it finally happens, and when it finally happens, it's awesome, right? And I was giving several examples, and I said, you land that 15-pound bass, you shoot that 12-point buck, but what I actually said was, you land that 15-pound bass, you shoot that 12-pound buck. And I noticed some commotion over here, and I heard my wife whisper, he doesn't know much about hunting. So I was like, what's that all about? So I listened to it and I found out my mistake. So just so you know, I do know a 12-pound buck would be incredibly rare. So that actually would be kind of amazing. You'd get your picture in the paper. So maybe I wasn't all that wrong. Okay. So let's see if we can regather after that. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. So last week we talked about the beginning of the story that you and I are a part of. We looked at Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and Genesis 1 starts with these words, in the beginning, God created. And all through chapter 1, it tells about how God created all things in 6 days. And it says, he said, let there be light. And instantly, there's billions of stars and galaxies and planets that just burst into existence. And God says, let there be land, and let there be sea, and let there be fish and birds and animals. And everything happened at God's word. And in chapter 1, we see God as almighty. We see him as almighty creator. But then in chapter 2, everything changes. Because chapter 2 zooms in on one specific part of God's creation, you and me. And in chapter 2, we don't just see God as almighty creator. Now we see him also as a loving father. And the main thing we emphasized last week was this truth. God sees your needs and your desires, and they matter to him. And one of the reasons we know that is because of this. God creates Adam, and Adam is by himself, and God noticed that. And in all of God's creation, over and over again, he created something and he said, that's good, that's good, that's good. But then he sees Adam's loneliness and he says, that is not good. God says, I'm not okay with that. I don't want him to be alone, so I will create a helper for him. And God creates the perfect companion for Adam. The word literally means lifesaver. And he brings Eve to Adam. Adam sees her for the first time and he says, finally, you're here. This is amazing. And God says, now it is very good. God is fully aware of the needs and desires of your heart, and they matter to him. Now, that doesn't mean everything you want is going to happen, and we know this. And it also doesn't mean everything we want is going to happen when we want it to. But it's really important for us to learn to trust God's plan and to trust his timing, because those times when we don't, when we step outside of his plan, when we step out of the guidelines that he has created for us, when we rush forward and say, okay, God, you're taking too long, so I'm going to push to get what I want right now, that's when we invite all kinds of sin into our lives and we get ourselves into huge messes that then we go back to God and say, God, I really need you to bail me out because I messed up again. And so God has given us clear guidelines of what it looks like to follow his plan, his purposes, and to trust his timing. And chapter 2 ends with these words in chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. It says this, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And as we said last week, that is the design that God has given us. A man and a woman coming together in marriage, and then they become one flesh. And that is the foundation. A man and woman coming together in marriage, that's the foundation God shows us all throughout the scriptures. It's the foundation for family. It's the foundation for sexual intimacy. It's the foundation for the deepest levels of emotional intimacy possible between two human beings. It's the foundation for the creation of new life. And Jesus points to this very passage a couple of times in the New Testament as well. And so that's the beginning of what we have today. That's God's design for man and woman. Now today, we're going to go back to one verse in chapter 1 and kind of build on that a little bit. In chapter 1, verse 27, it says this. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I'm just going to point this out at the beginning here. God didn't just create you as a generic human. God created you as male or female, man or woman. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say something that might shock you. It might sound crazy to you. It might be like really controversial. In fact, it has become controversial in our country in the last couple of years. But I'm just going to step out on a limb with a chainsaw and go ahead and say it. Men and women are different. Amen. There, I said it. We're different. Now, if you don't believe me, just look around you, right? If you don't believe me that men and women are different, what that means is you have never met a person of the opposite sex, had a conversation with them, spent any time with them. We're different. It's just a reality. And I want to show just a couple of pictures just to illustrate the fact that men and women are different. This one popped up around Father's Day. Yes. And I love that picture because it gives a good illustration of the fact that we parent differently, right? You know, for fathers, we're like, yeah, this is awesome. And for moms, a lot of times, you're like, ah, that's not a good idea. Here's my favorite one. I love this one. I've shown this before. The two different machines. The top one says the man. Real simple. On, off. Here's the next one, the woman. And there's a lot more going on there, right? Because women tend to be a lot more complex than us. Now, we can go negative and say women are complicated and men are simple-minded. Or we can say men are just simple, we don't like drama. Women are more complex and nuanced and they see a lot more things going on, right? That's different. Men and women are different. Now, this next one, I teach a communications course at Messiah College. And one of the things we talk about is communicating with people of the opposite sex. And one of the things I do, and I've done this, I was counting up the other day, this is about 350 students so far where I've gotten this feedback from. What I'll do is I'll have all the men go on one side of the room and all the women go on the other side of the room. And I'll say, take 10 minutes and list off as many things as you can. What are the characteristics you look for in a close friend? Like a person that you enjoy spending time with, that you want to develop a close friendship with, what are the things you look for? What matters most to you? Typically, the men will give me a list that looks something like this. Okay, common interests, you know, we enjoy the same things, humor, able to hold a conversation, topic versus relational. In other words, we're not going to talk about our feelings. We're not going to say, you know, how are we doing as friends, right? We're going to talk about sports. We're going to talk about fishing. We're going to talk about, you know, working on cars. We're going to talk about guy stuff, right? Mutual friends, if we know some of the same people, that's a good thing too. That's a fairly common list that I get from the guys. Here's a typical list that I get from the women. Now, right away, you notice something here, right?
Continuous.
What jumps out at you right away? There's not enough room. There never is. It's always a lot longer, right? So the point is, men and women, we're just different. It's just a fact of life. And that's important for us to know because in relationships, like the woman brings something to the relationship, to the marriage, to parenting, to decisions. She brings perspectives, insights, understandings, experiences that the man does not have. And in the same way, the man brings certain things to the relationship, to the marriage, to parenting, to decisions, perspectives, insights, background, information that the woman doesn't have. So the fact that we're different, it's a good thing. Now, true or false, the fact that we're different can create some problems. Yeah? It can create some conflict, some misunderstanding, some confusion. Think about this. God puts together these two people. Over here, there's the guy who never talks about his feelings, keeps everything inside. At the end of a long day, they both get back home from work. She asks him the question, how was your day? And after 10 hours of experiences, conversations, stuff that's happened, his response to the question, how was your day, is the revealing, fine. And that's all she's going to get out of him. God puts him together with a woman who talks about every single thing imaginable nonstop and periodically cries for no apparent reason. And God puts those two people together. God puts together this person who is super organized. Their socks are organized by alphabetical order and day of the week. All of the towels have to be aligned perfectly within the house. They have to make sure that all the ice cubes in the ice cube bin, that there's an exact even number of ice cubes. And if anything is out of place, they go into a full-blown panic attack, right? You know people like this? Don't nudge your spouse, but you know people like this, right? God puts that person with this person who loses their keys at least once a week. Leaves the cupboard doors open all the time, doesn't put the cap back on the toothpaste, leaves the milk on the counter. God puts those two people together, and he did it on purpose. She likes a hot bath with bubbles and, you know, candles, and she likes romantic comedies. He likes Braveheart and Gladiator and can't imagine talking about his feelings or spending more than $7 on a haircut. And God puts the two of those people together on purpose. So like they live in the same house. So the fact that misunderstandings and disagreements and confusion and problems occur shouldn't surprise us. Because we're different. And that's a really good thing. Here's why. I want you to turn to the person next to you and actually do this. Turn to the person next to you. Go ahead and look at them. And I want you to say this to them. Everybody turn to somebody. Go ahead and turn to somebody. Now, this isn't going to be that awkward, I promise. I'm not going to make you say anything that's like, oh, now we're supposed to go out on a date or something. I'm not going to do that. So turn to the person next to you and just say this.
You have to look at twice.
Right. Here we go. You ready? Turn to that person and say, God loves you just the way you are.
God loves you just the way you are.
That was good.
John, God loves you just the way you are.
Now, doesn't that feel nice? Then they give you warm fuzzies. Wow, God loves me just the way I am. That's awesome, and that's absolutely true. Now turn to that same person. Go ahead. And now we're going to complete the thought. So we said God loves you just the way you are. Here's the second part you need to say to them. But he loves you too much to let you stay that way. Right? Okay. That's true. God loves us so much, he's on a mission to change us. And let's be honest, aren't there things we want to change about ourselves? Like, we have exercise apps on our phones. There's self-help books all over the place. There's diet plans everywhere. All of those things are top sellers. Why? Because there's things in our lives that we want to change. We all recognize there's a there where I want to be, and there's a here where I am right now. And so we do things like make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this differently this year. We make promises to ourselves and to other people. Here's what I'm going to change. Here's what I'm going to work on. We develop new habits to try to adjust things and shift things in our lives. Why? Because we want to change things about ourselves. And God does too. And I believe that marriage is one of the tools he uses to change us, to accomplish the transformation he wants to bring into our lives. Because in marriage, we're called to live in harmony with another person who is completely different from us. Not just to survive together, not just to get along with each other, not just to tolerate each other, but to live in harmony. What the Bible calls oneness. God's plan for your marriage isn't that you just get along and make it through. God's plan for your marriage is that it would be meaningful and happy and fulfilling, a source of joy and strength and comfort for you, for both of you. That's God's plan for your marriage. But accomplishing that over the long haul, well, that's not easy to do. It's challenging. It takes work. It takes effort. It requires growth. It requires selflessness. It requires sacrifice. Building a marriage like that is hard to do, and one of the reasons is because we're different from each other. And yet, even though we're different, we're called to love each other unconditionally. We're called to place high value on the other person. We're called to respect that person, their needs, their wishes, their desires. We're called to keep the promises we made to each other on our wedding day. That is part of God's calling for us. And doing that, that's a process of growth. It's an opportunity to develop maturity inside of us that very few other things in life provide for us. See, your spouse has the ability, like no one else on this planet, to get under your skin. Don't they? Don't look at them. We're not doing testimony time. Your spouse has the ability to irritate the living out of you, right? They know where your buttons are, and they know how and when to push those buttons. And the point I'm trying to sell you is this: that can be a good thing. Let me tell you why. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, points out that many times when God wants to build character qualities in us, the way he does it is by putting us in situations where our natural response would be the exact opposite. So in other words, when God wants to teach you patience, everything's not going to go your way. Like when God wants you to learn patience, you're not going to win the green light lottery on your way to work in the morning, right? What's going to happen is you're going to get stuck behind the slowest drivers in the county. You're going to end up running into all kind of construction problems, projects, and have to sit there, and you're going to get frustrated. You're going to, when you go to the store and you're in a hurry, you're not going to get the shortest, fastest line. You're going to get the longest, slowest line, and you're going to notice this line over here is moving more quickly, so I'm going to jump over into that line. And the second you do, what happens? That light starts flashing. Guess somebody up there needs help, and now the line you just left is moving faster, and yeah, right? When God wants to teach you patience, that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen. Your internet is going to stop working. Why? Because the way he can teach us patience is not by everything going the way we want it to. The only way we learn patience is when it's hard to be patient. And in the same way, when God wants to teach us unconditional love, he's not going to surround us with people who agree with us and affirm everything we think, say, and believe. He's going to bring people into your life who disagree with you, who question you, who challenge you, who test you. And sometimes that's going to be your spouse. So when you find yourself in those situations in life where you are frustrated, where you're annoyed, where you are losing your patience, sometimes the reason that's happening is because God is poking and prodding so that you will become aware of where you need his work to happen in your life. See, the way we respond to conflict, the way we respond to disagreements, the way we respond to discomfort and stuff like that that happens in relationships, the way we respond to those things reveals something in our hearts. And that's a gift because it awakens us to those areas inside of us that need to be addressed. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. There are areas in your life where he wants you to grow. There are wounds in your heart that he wants to heal, but you may not be aware of those. Or you might be aware, but you've been ignoring them because it's too painful to deal with them. And so those differences, those disagreements, those misunderstandings and disappointments, God sometimes uses those to open our eyes up to some anger, some pain, some wound, some unforgiveness, some bitterness that has settled into a deep corner in our hearts and we have ignored it and pretended it wasn't there. And the conflict stirs all of that up and brings it to the surface so we can be aware of it and deal with it and find healing from it. Too often though, what happens when that occurs, too often our response is because we don't like how uncomfortable it makes us. So instead of paying attention to the problem so we can get rid of it, we point the finger at the other person and we get rid of them. I want to be really clear here. I'm not talking about abuse. That's a different issue. If you are in an abusive relationship, you need to get away from that person, period. You need to protect yourself from further abuse. And if there are kids involved, you need to protect them from abuse as well. I'm not talking about abusive relationships. What I'm talking about is those times when you are frustrated with your spouse, you are irritated, you're drifting apart, you cannot imagine ever having anything in common, you cannot imagine being close ever again. They seem like they're constantly angry at you, disappointed at you, and you have no idea why. And you can't seem to agree on anything. You can't agree on financial decisions, you can't agree on decisions about the kids, you can't agree on where to go on vacation. You begin to live separate lives. In those times when the relationship becomes challenging and painful and difficult, what if that's not a sign that it's over? What if instead that's an opportunity? Because sometimes that conflict, that discomfort, that person that we don't want to be around anymore, sometimes that is exactly what we need to awaken us to what's going on inside of our hearts, so we can find healing in those areas that we have not been dealing with. Hebrews 10:24 says this: let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, we love the part where it talks about love and good deeds, but don't ignore the part where it says spur. You know what a spur is, right? It's not comfortable for the horse. And sometimes, if you have any experience riding horses, sometimes that spur, bam, that's what it takes to motivate that horse to start moving forward, right? Sometimes that discomfort is necessary to get that horse away from where it is, to get it moving to where it needs to be. That's true of us too. Sometimes discomfort, a little bit of pain, is exactly what we need to move us from that place where we're stuck, where we've settled in because we're comfortable there. Sometimes a little bit of discomfort is exactly what we need to motivate us to start moving forward to the place that God wants us to go. And sometimes that discomfort comes in the form of a spouse. Sometimes your spouse is the spur on God's boot. And again, we don't like that. And I'm not saying God causes the conflict, but I'm saying this: God can use that conflict. He can use that discomfort to open our eyes to something inside of us that we need to change. What if, when you face conflict, when you start to feel distant from your spouse, when you start to wonder, maybe we should call it quits, what if instead of ending the relationship, instead of concluding this was wrong from the beginning, we just need to end this thing, what if instead you invite the Holy Spirit into that place of pain, into that place of irritation, that place of frustration, that place of disappointment? What if you invite him in and say, Holy Spirit, would you open my eyes to see what's going on here? Would you help me to understand how I should deal with what's happening right now? If you do that, you might discover something that will absolutely change your life and set you free from something that has been tying you down for years. I've done a whole lot of marriage counseling over the years, and one of the things that I've discovered is this. More often than not, the pain you're feeling in the relationship is not because of the relationship. It's not the relationship that's causing that pain. What is happening is the conflict you're facing right now is shining a huge spotlight on some pain that was buried deep down inside, something else that was going on inside of your heart that you were not aware of. And now because there's conflict, now because there's frustration, now because there's disappointment, that's all coming to the surface. God is allowing it to come to the surface so you can find healing from it, but instead our response too often is, you are the cause of my pain, I'm done with you. What if instead of doing that, if we invite the Holy Spirit to come in to that place of pain, to examine our hearts, and let me give you a couple of things that he might do. He might reveal to you that there is a wound in your heart that you have never been healed from. Something happened to you that hurts you deeply, and you haven't been healed of it yet. And the pain you're feeling right now has nothing to do with your spouse, has nothing to do with that other person. It's because there's some stuff from long ago that still hurts you. And that hurt is interfering with a relationship that used to be so meaningful to you. And what you really need is not to get away from that person. What you really need is to go to him and invite him to step in. Holy Spirit, come and heal my heart where it is broken. Heal that wound that I've not found healing from. I'm telling you right now, if you discover that, that's a really big deal, isn't it? And it could set you free from something that has enslaved you for decades. But you'll never make that discovery if when the relationship becomes painful, difficult, uncomfortable, complicated, you instead decide, this person is the source of my pain. They're the cause of my irritation. It's time for us to go our separate ways. What if you invite the Holy Spirit in and you say, Lord, examine my heart. Come into this place of pain inside of me. And as he does, he reveals to you that what's really happening is you have so much anger inside because of somebody that caused that wound. That person who hurt you long ago, and you've never forgiven that person. You've been holding on to that anger towards them, and let's be honest, it feels justified, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels good to keep that anger burning inside of us. It feels like righteousness. It feels like the right thing to do. They deserve my anger. And yet the truth is that anger is causing you far more harm than it's causing that person. It's eating you up inside, and it's causing problems in your relationship right now. That painful relationship from your past, it taught you you can't trust anybody, including the person you're married to right now. And your anger, your pain, your frustration has nothing to do with this person you're married to right now. It's because of that wound that was inflicted and that person you're still holding anger towards. Because what we do when that happens is we build this massive protective shield around our hearts and we refuse to let anybody else in because we don't want to get wounded again. What if instead you choose to let God be your shield? What if instead you choose to say, what's happening right now is I'm still feeling the pain from that person who hurt me. I haven't forgiven them. And I'm carrying that pain over into this relationship right now. And it's keeping me from embracing a relationship that could be absolutely fulfilling to me. You see, carrying that anger, carrying that unforgiveness, I'm telling you right now, it's too much to carry through life. Think about this. The God who hung dying on a cross, looking around at those who had tortured him and nailed him to that cross, as he looked around while he was in agony, while he was suffering, while he was dying, he looked at those very people and said, Father, forgive them. If you're a follower of Christ, that same one who forgave them, he lives inside of you. So he can empower you to show that same forgiveness that he showed on that day and that he shows us every day of our lives. He wants you to be free from that bitterness and that anger because it's harming you and it's harming your marriage. Or what if you invite the Holy Spirit to come in to that place of pain, that place of frustration, that situation you're struggling with, and you say, Holy Spirit, come and examine my heart. And maybe he reveals to you, there's this sin over here in your life that you've been doing, and you know it's wrong, and you've been telling yourself it's no big deal, but the truth is, it's hurting you. It's causing damage to your life, and it's sabotaging your closest relationships, and it's time to walk away from that sin. Or maybe he reveals to you, there's some sin in your past from long ago. And I forgave you long ago, but you're holding on to the shame and you're holding on to the guilt. And along with shame and guilt comes pain and irritation. And you focus it on this person you're married to. Because of that shame, because you feel like you're not free, you've come to the conclusion that something inside of you is broken, that you are somehow damaged goods, and you're not deserving of that relationship. You're not deserving of that person's love. And that's a lie. I want you to know there is freedom and there is forgiveness in Christ. There's freedom from whatever sins you might be struggling with right now, and there's forgiveness from whatever sins there might be in your past. You don't have to let the past rob you of the joy God has in store for you right now. So that discovery, pausing and saying, Holy Spirit, come in, examine my heart. I'm frustrated. I don't like this marriage right now. I'm angry. I'm irritated. Maybe it's time to end it. If I hit the pause button and say, Holy Spirit, come in, examine my heart, show me what's going on, he might reveal something to you that will change your life instead of ending the marriage. That maybe there's that wound that's never been healed. Maybe there's bitterness towards the person who brought that wound into your life and you need freedom from that bitterness. Or maybe there's that sin going on right now or that shame and guilt from stuff in the past. That discovery that there's something else going on inside, I'm telling you right now, that can be incredibly freeing. But again, you'll never make that discovery if when the relationship becomes difficult, painful, challenging, complicated, if you decide this person is the cause of my pain, they're the cause of my unhappiness, it's time for us to go our separate ways. What I'm saying is this. The pain and the irritation and the distance in your marriage that's leading you to wonder if maybe you should end the relationship. Maybe that pain is not about your marriage at all. Maybe it has nothing to do with the other person. Maybe it's actually an opportunity. It's an opportunity to discover where in your heart you need the work of the risen Christ. It's an opportunity to encounter the healing and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. But you've got to listen to his voice and invite him to step in and to do that work. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and to encourage you to take a moment alone with God, whatever that might be for you. Maybe it's a wound from your past that you have never healed of. Or maybe it's that person who wounded you and you haven't forgiven them, and anger and bitterness have taken root. Maybe it's some sin you're struggling with right now. Maybe it's the shame and guilt of past sins. Whatever it is for you, are you willing to invite him into that? To give him space to speak into your life? Because he wants to bring healing and forgiveness and peace. Would you take a moment and welcome him in? Lord, whatever is happening in each person's heart right now, we welcome the work of your Holy Spirit. Whatever it is that's happening, that pain, that unforgiveness, the shame, the guilt, we choose to give it to you here and now. We ask you to become Lord over it. And we choose here and now not to let it control us any longer, not to let it interfere with our marriages any longer. We reject the idea that any of those things have to steal our joy, our fulfillment here and now. We invite you to step in and bring healing. We invite you to step in and empower us to forgive those who have wounded us. We invite you to give us victory over the sins we're struggling with right now. We thank you for your forgiveness, and we invite you to give us absolute freedom from the guilt and the shame of the past. And we confess, Lord Jesus, you are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are the one who brings new life. And we thank you for the victory that is ours in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I do want to say one last thing, and then I will, and then I'll dismiss you. Today's message was a lot different than what I had planned on early on in the week, and about midway through the week, God shifted what I was going to talk about today. That tells me that there are people here who really needed to hear this today. So I just want to encourage you, there's a couple of ways we can respond. When a message hits home, we could either say, well, I don't really want to hear that, I don't want to deal with that, so forget it. Or we could say, this is an opportunity. God spoke to me today, and I'm going to pay attention to that and invite his work into my heart. I'm encouraging you to respond that way if God spoke to you this morning. Invite his work in, because whatever you're going through right now, the answer he has for you is much better than whatever answer the enemy has whispered in your ear. So again, if you need prayer this morning, don't leave until you receive that prayer.